Andy Stachansky. How's it going, Andy?
Good. How are you doing, Jeff?
Where are you? It sounds like you're under the water somewhere.
Yeah, I'm underwater.
Cool. That's my first underwater interview.
I'm in Walt Disney World at the submarine ride.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Actually, my life does feel a little bit like Disney World.
Yeah? Why is that? I guess it's an exciting time to be Andy Stachansky. You got a new record that lots of people are talking about.
Yeah, it's like a birth of a child, you know, like everybody's just talking about it and you get no sleep and there's a feeding time and yeah, it's a pretty amazing feeling.
Well, that's good. Now, Andy, I'll be honest with you, I'm a fairly recent convert to the Stachansky army. I finally learned how to say Stachansky, but
You live in Winnipeg, man. It's the Ukrainianness in it all.
We have a connection then. That's
there
good.
There you go.
My first chance to see you do your own stuff anyway was at the Bluebird North a little while ago. And while some people think those singer-songwriter events can be goofy, I'm here to tell you that it can win you new fans because I hadn't heard you before. I went out and picked up a couple of records after that, and here you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had an amazing time doing that tour. With M. Griner and Andy Kim, and it was just great.
Yeah,
and the West End Culture was such a perfect venue for that show.
No kidding, and it was good to have you on board. I'm while I haven't heard a lot of your solo stuff up until recently, I was familiar with you from way back in the day when you used to play the Winnipeg Folk Festival with Ani DeFranco,
right?
Doing some fine drum work. And for the folks that might remember that, how long did you play with her, and how did you get hooked up playing drums?
Well, she saw me playing in the States, and we hooked up, and we ended up playing for 6 years together.
That's terrific. Yeah. So, at the time you were being a drummer for other people, were you a budding singer-songwriter at the time, or is that a new development?
I really only picked up the guitar like 4 years ago, but as soon as I picked it up, I started writing. And then, whenever I'd play my songs for people, they would always say, like, wow, maybe you should tape that. And so I started taping all these songs, and they got passed around to somebody from a record company, heard it, and it all kind of started from that. But I really had no idea I was going to kind of go solo and do all that. It really just kind of hit me from left field, you know. It was really quite a surprise.
So, it was kind of an unexpected thing, just...
Absolutely.
That's cool. And then I guess your first couple of records were a little bit, you called them, you said that you did your weird stuff first and then moved over to the more accessible stuff later on. There was a bit of a stylistic change with Five Star Motel?
Well, because I hadn't picked up the guitar first when I was making those albums, I was writing stuff on like, you know, piano and symphonic instruments and samplers.
Right.
And then for the third and fourth record, I'd already picked up the guitar and started writing on that, so that's why the songs... changed, because the instruments changed.
Oh yeah, it. I know that with the Five Star Motel certainly got you a lot of critical acclaim and a bunch of fans started catching on. But it seems like with this record, people are expecting bigger and better things. Even it seems like there's more hype about this one than any of your previous records. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that's one of the surprises of doing all these interviews, is that everybody's just kind of like going, you know, wow, this is it. And I'm always, you know, I know what state the music industry in it is, I just kind of take it one day at a time, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm just really, really happy that everybody's, you know, reacting to it.
Yeah.
And how lucky do I feel, you know? I feel like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, I guess. I noticed you have a producer on this one. It's one of them Goo Goo Dolls, and I'd say his name, but I'd screw it up. So you're going to teach
Resnick.
Me how to stay. That's it, eh?
Yeah.
All right, John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls. Now, there's a band that's had some success on the radio, and by hooking up with him, does that sort of mean that you were trying to go for something a little radio friendly, a little?
No, he heard my demos and really wanted to produce the record, and I wasn't sure about it, but then when I flew down to meet him, he had a couple days off from his world tour, and it was just like, as soon as I met him, as soon as we started playing the songs together, I knew that we were both on the exact same page. So I think that he was looking to do something a bit different than the Goo Goo Dolls thing.
Right.
You know, I think that he was chomping at the bit to produce something like this, so it just all worked, you know?
Right. Content.
We got lucky.
content-wise, how does this record sort of differ? I understand you're trying to be a little more upbeat and positive and looking forward this time than the usual singer-songwriter thing.
Yeah, you know, to me, I was really... There's two things about this record. I was trying to make the most hip, most unhip record I could. I really wanted to make, like, a... Just, you know, we had this one rule for the record. They had to work on acoustic guitar first.
Right.
Without production. And the other rule that we had was the fact that I didn't want to kind of make this, like, lo-fi kind of, you know, hip-sounding record. I just wanted to make a very just... song-oriented record that was positive sounding and wasn't moody at all and dark, and I just heard enough of that music.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was just listening to too much of that music.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make something that sounded relatively positive and could be uplifting. You know, I just kind of wanted to go against the grain of what I was seeing. I wanted to jump away from the pack a little bit, from the singer-songwriter thing. So I kind of wanted to sound a little bit tougher as well on the record and have more electric guitars than I ever had before.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. You do have that sort of dichotomy there where I mean, when I saw you at the Bluebird North, you were playing acoustically and these songs seem to work well. But on the record, they're much more, you got a big fat band behind you and they're pretty rocking tunes. So
yeah,
all them,
and live as well.
Yeah, so all of them sort of work in both contexts?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you come to Winnipeg on Wednesday, do we see you with the full band doing the rockin' thing?
Absolutely. Well, the show, actually, it's yes and no. There's some songs that I do solo.
Yeah.
There's some songs I'll do on piano, and some songs I'll do with the band. So the whole set is completely dynamic, which is exactly the way that I like shows that I go see of other bands. So it's really all over the place.
Well, that's good. So we mix it up and keep it interesting for the folks, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes for a good show. So so have you been on tour for a while?
No. Last night was a CD release party.
All and right.
We go on the road tomorrow morning.
Ah, so we're one of the first stops for it.
Thunder Bay.
Right on.
Yeah.
So is it too early to tell how the reaction is from the folks who are actually buying it?
No. Everybody's quite vocal about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they've
I
all
was
been...
told that I had my first Stalker fan last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That means you've
Thank
made
you.
It, I think. That's a good step.
Yeah, I'm in some kind of club now.
Well, it's good to have you in the club anyway.
Well, Jeff, thanks.
I have all kinds of stalkers, so I know what it's like.
There you go.
But yeah, so Andy, we got to get going here. We got the Lowest of the Low waiting out in the lobby, which is pretty exciting. Don't you think?
Nice.
You're officially opening for the Lowest of the Low today.
Oh, there you go. Well, give them my love.
We'll do. We're gonna play something else off 100. I think we'll play One Man Symphony. That sound okay with you?
That's perfect, Jeff. Thanks for your support, and I just want to say hi to Winnipeg, and I can't not wait to be there. And two things, man. The best pierogies in the world ever.
Absolutely.
And for some reason, the best tiramisu I've ever had in my life.
Really?
So I'm definitely going back.
I hadn't heard it was Winnipeg as a place of a notoriety for its tiramisu, but...
I'm going to have to show you around town.
I can't wait for it. All right, thanks, Andy. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay, Jeff, be well.